Give us guidance and wisdom in all we do. In Christ's name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a special meeting of the Commissioner's Court. Today is the 31st of January. This is not our normal meeting time. We're having a special meeting to take care of some other county business. We're applying for a grant for some road improvement money, but we also have our typical public comment section, and obviously that's what you're here for. So I'm going to begin with item number one, public comments or requests for information on non-agenda items in accordance with section 551.042 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. And thus far, as in my understanding, I have one of these, or do I have more of these?
Does anyone want to speak?
And I'll allow you to speak, even, but if you'll fill out one of these before you go so that our clerk can have a record of who spoke. And I'm going to recognize Jim Chambers here first, since he's filled out a public participation form. And then those of you that want to speak, again, I'll allow you to speak if you'll complete one of these so that we can get your name. And Jim, if you'll come on up to the podium where we've got a microphone there, not just for the crowd to be able to hear you, but hopefully just to get on our recording device.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you. Much like you, I used to be on the other side of that, Chapel Hill, for 16 years. So I know a little bit of what you guys do, and I do appreciate what you do. As you probably know, I'm calling with my concerns about the road. We've struggled considerably over there. As you all know, I'm sure that you've heard from your citizens. When it was brought to my attention the other day that we had an opportunity to open the road, I got a little upset, to be honest. Jay Patel and Sean Patel and I sat down with Pay People in October 2012. We said, hey man, we know this is going to impact us. We know it's not going to be good. What's the prognosis? Well, at that time, they told us that on the west side, they would be working about 3 months. And we said, well, we can please about that. And then we said, well, what happened when you move over here? Well, on this side, there's going to be more work. It's going to take a little longer. It's going to be about 4 months there. I'll remind you, October of 2012. 7 months passed, nowhere near completion. 1 year passed, nowhere near completion. And now, we are essentially complete on our end. And I'm told that we can't open the road because nobody wants to accept liability. Well, business owners in that area have been accepting your liability for you to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars over this period. If you need exact numbers, I'll be happy to give them to you on behalf of El Chico. I can't speak for the rest of the business people. I know it's been severe. Now, just like human beings who have blood coursing through their veins, when you lose that blood, you're dead. Well, businesses have the same thing. They have dollars running through their business. When they lose their dollars, they're dead. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're dead, but we're dying. And if it continues much longer, there will be people falling out of that community over there. I hope not to be one of them. None of these people hope to be. We spent our lifetimes building our businesses. We've worked hard and contributed to the community. Some of us contributed quite a bit to our community over the years. And that community has supported us. There's not a day that goes by that my customers aren't asking me, when are you guys going to open this road? First thing I say is, whoa, wait a minute. As far as I'm concerned, that road out there was fine before. Now, I am beseeching you to do whatever you need to do to get that road open. Because not only is it a continual inconvenience for the citizens, it is a danger. There's a clear impression of danger every time you go across that intersection. And I don't know the statistics, but there have been dozens of wrecks right in front of the restaurant. Now, fortunately, I don't think anybody's been hurt, although I've seen ambulances out there a number of times. But it's just a matter of time until that happens. And I don't think anybody wants that. So, not to belabor your point, or my point, I'm going to have to listen to the rest of these people. And when word gets out, I'm afraid you're going to listen to a lot of people. Because the citizens have been seriously incapacitated. I'd like to know from this court what they're going to do. I've talked to the people in Atlanta for Department of Transportation. I've talked to the people in the state. Talked to the paid people, if you can find one of them. You know, nobody wants to give me an answer. I'm a big boy. I can take the answer. But I need to know something. And I need to know what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. Because every day that goes by, is blood dripping out of our businesses. I thank you for your time.
All right, thank you. Next, Shay, is that Ingram?
Yeah.
Shay, come on up.
Well, thank you all for having me, of course. I want to first start off what I want to say with the Hampton Inn & Suites is 99% of out-of-town business. You know, Jim Chambers touched on the citizens of Mount Pleasant. Well, I'm going to tell you what the out-of-town travelers think of this situation. They've been asking, and I can't tell them anything, because whenever we have a date, it's not completed. So we have had to have a meeting with our staff with how to deal with road construction complaints. We are down 20% on transient business, which is our leisure travels that ends off 5:30, because, you know, we're not appealing to people that are out of town. They do not want to have to, you know, figure out how to get through the construction. They'll just go on to the next segment where there isn't any, you know. And it's very dangerous. Like you said, we've had accidents. We've had guests of ours that have had accidents. And as far as, you know, people's perceptions on Mount Pleasant and the way all of this is being handled, I have salt reviews, I have TripAdvisor reviews. That stuff is out on the web. People are looking at that when they're traveling to Mount Pleasant, Texas. And y'all can go on and look at our TripAdvisor account, and y'all can see that. I'm sure you can look at the leases too, because I'm sure it has something to do with theirs, the motel sickness, and also the quality in. You know, you can go and you can find that research yourself looking at that stuff. Because people out are complaining online for everyone to see. And, you know, that's pretty much, you know, all I have to say. That the perception of our business from out of town is not good on that situation. It's not appealing to them. You know, we're all losing money.
far behind the title mark.
Okay.
And besides that, I'm a school bus driver. And he already said most of the things. He already said most of the things he concerns over there. But as a bus driver too, I find that place, even the comfort they put it inside, is very, very dangerous. For that kind of construction, I already have an accident over here across the bridge. And I decided wrong because the marks on the road, they were bad. I'm back to losing a lot of buildings. But it's, I find the park dangerous. And what I hear, they're going to stop construction more. There's something going on. We have a bunch of stuff that has to be cleaned at least.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? All right. Unless anybody up here has a comment, let me remind everybody here, our next time that we will address this subject will be 10 days from now. It will be a week from this coming Monday. We tabled it at the last meeting. We will discuss it again. We are trying to get TxDOT to accept this road. We've talked to Senator Elti's office. I'm expecting a call back from them this morning. Brian Hughes' office. I believe that TxDOT Atlanta is sympathetic to this situation, but they are doing what their legal team in Austin advised them to do, and that is not to accept the road until the entire project is complete. We are trying to get them to accept a portion of this project without the entire project being substantially complete. And if they're unwilling to do that, then the commissioners have to weigh the liability of opening up that road without the backing of TxDOT. But it's important that we hear from you so that we understand what are the ramifications if we don't do this. So thank you for yesterday.
And besides how most of the drivers from the school.
Can I get you to come back up here? Because I want you on my video and audio.
And besides how most of the drivers from the school, they avoid the specific place. They use most of the time, they use airport. They got to be on the roof and go on the airport because that thing is, they say, it's bad. And I know for sure it's bad because I have my own accident right there.
Okay.
I'm
ready.
Thank
you. Brian, you have another question? Okay. I'm going to limit this to the last one because we got to get some other business and I've got four starting at 9:30.
You know, TxDOT says they can't open the road because of liability, yet they opened the portion that went from 49 all the way to 67.
Well, that was a complete project.
Okay, so.
But they're not talking about the three pieces. They're talking about just 271 in your case from down there at the funeral home to where it comes out there in El Chico. That's the project portion they're talking about.
Right, but my question is that portion inclusive of the overhead bridge to nowhere?
Yes.
So it's possible that this thing can be done 10 years from now.
No, that's not possible. No. But it is possible it would be later on this year, which we know for you is still not acceptable. Every day that goes by is not acceptable. But yes, that bridge at the funeral home is included in that entire project. Okay. All right.
Commissioner, I'm sure that, hey,
yeah, is your deal on? I don't know if my turn is on or not. Which on top of the back of my little ball. There you go.
Slide
towards you.
There. I'm sure Peggy said that they might be a few more little things to do out there, West Brothers or that.
There are some comments that TxDOT had before they want us to remove the barricades if we decide to do that. I believe that they're fairly minimal, but I haven't been told what those are.
I thought it's a few days. I'm not sure, but I'm sure it was just a few days. Maybe not they had to do before they do it.
And there was a turnaround before they did that.
Sir?
I thought that other turnaround, I thought they said that turnaround had to be on another.
Well, that was one of their comments. I don't know if that's a mandatory item. I don't think we got very to be considered for use by the grants for money. And I know I've got the precinct.
Three, is this yours right here?
Yes.
Precinct three.
And Philip has come up with $395,000 worth of projects on his list, of which 10% would be $39,500, the county's portion, $355,500, would be hopefully paid for with reimbursement grant money. Here's three, I've got precinct four, Commissioner Hockaday's on his list, we've got a couple of projects here, County Road 3120 and 3140, totals on these to be allocated between the two projects, between the Tech Dot and the county, would be $27,696. Precinct two, Commissioner Fields has listed nine projects on here that he would like to address, that total, $555,000. And again, we know we're not probably going to get this much grant money, but I could ask you to go in excess of what we had hoped to get in the way of grant money, so we were sure that we didn't have more grant money than we had projects. And then I've got Commissioner Mills here, I've got three projects here with a total of $155,504, total of which $15,550 would be the responsibility of the county, and the remaining $140,000 approximately would be the 90% from Tech Dot. So those four reports appear to be in order. So I would ask that you approve these prioritized project lists. The next thing that I will do is I will submit them to Allison Bass, who is working for us in this matter, and make sure that they believe these project lists appear to be in the appropriate format and anything else that's going to be required to successfully apply and receive that grant. Motion by Commissioner Fields, second by Commissioner Hinton, all in favor of these project lists to be approved, say aye. Thank you. Item number three, discussion and consideration of accepting county road reports for filing in the minutes of the commissioner's report. Well, these reports will actually be filed in the minutes and they'll ultimately be filed with the grand jury. I don't know why they threw that particular requirement in there, but that is part of it. I will also submit these to Allison Bass for their review. And these road reports basically give TxDOT an idea of what's the condition of all the roads in Titus County. And the commissioners have listed all the roads in their precincts. They give a rating, a numerical rating to those. They've listed the cause of degradation of that particular road, number of culverts needing repair or replacement, bridges in need of repair or replacement, control devices such as signs, lights, etc. that need to be repaired or replaced, new roads needed to be opened, anticipated cost of improvements of those items, and then an anticipated annual maintenance cost of these particular roads. So I have four of these reports from each precinct, and so again, I would ask for you to accept these four reports to allow me to submit these on to the next step in the grant process.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to accept.
All right, motion by Commissioner Hinton, second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, and there are none. All right, very good. I'll get these going with the next step and keep you posted in the process. We're down to item four, closing comments, if any. Commissioner Riddle?
I'm sorry.
And closing comments, if any. Commissioner Fields? All right. Commissioner Hinton? Mr. Hockaday. All right, let me just give you an update. I am expecting to hear back from Travis Ransom, who works for Senator Elthide today. He happens to be good friends with Bob Ratliff, he was going to talk to Mr. Ratliff. Again, I'm not sure that Mr. Ratliff could make a decision without Austin allowing him to do that. I believe that he's sympathetic to our needs. But one thing, again, we will continue to try to get TxDOT to take this section of the road on there out by El Chico. We heard from these business owners, but if not, we need to be thinking about whether we're willing to do that. I was visiting with a former TxDOT engineer who posed this scenario for me. He said, Brian, if you think about it, really you guys are liable for any damage that's done right now. Somebody goes out there and runs over a stop line, or, you know, runs into the ditch and tears up the new sod or a drainage culvert, you're still liable for it because you're going to get your contractor to go back and fix it, but you've got to pay him to do it because our contractor's not liable for having to continue to fix and repair and replace every time somebody damages something. That comes out of our monies. So we've still got some financial liability. It seems to me that as dangerous as this road is in its present position, I don't know what we'd have to lose by opening up this road and allowing the traffic to flow like it's supposed to flow. And I know that this wasn't an easy decision for you last meeting, and I feel like you guys are sympathetic to these business owners, but let's continue to try to get TxDOT to reconsider their position, and if not, you'd be thinking about what you want to do between now and next meeting.
Judge, I've got one question. Concrete barriers that are out there now, I thought they were going to take those down.
Well, some of the concrete barriers are permanent barriers. They're the ones that have concrete poured inside of them. They're going to be there forevermore.
Well, that's I guess that's where I misunderstood. I thought all of those were going to be.
No. Some of those are going to stay. There's going to be a clear separation of those two sides of the road there where that future road is in between them.
Okay.
So we've got, right now you can't go from 67, you can't get all the way through 67. You've got some cones and pylons and tape and that sort of stuff, but all that traffic is having to go on that west side of the road rather than having some one-way traffic on the east and the west and opening up 67. There's nobody here for McCoy's, but if you think about McCoy's, you know, you can't get to McCoy's unless you think about it and come in from the east there on 67.
And I'll change the stage with Dr. Merriweather through the project yesterday. We went out there very early to meet them. And we have moving up 67 some more ago. And I saw two vehicles, and that was about, say, 215 or something. Very, very little business there. And I just thought I'd say that because with Dr. Merriweather, we were talking about it, and I said, you know, they're really perfect, so does everybody down there. From everything I've looked at, I think it's pretty well completed. They've got to do that turnaround, and the state's the one that's wanting that. That's not part of our original project.
Y'all talking about the barriers out there, and the state wanted to move all those at one time, even the ones that were poured. Now, have they changed their mind on that now?
I'm not aware of that. My assumption is there are some permanent barriers there.
That's right.
They stay there.
Decided on the turnaround down there, decided we're going to take those terminals out, all that